Blog Talk Radio.
Hotep, greetings and Happy New Year to all of those new listeners and to my old listeners. Happy New Year and greetings, and thank you so much for joining us on this New Year's Day. This is a beginning of a new year. Aren't we fortunate to be in the living, in the land of the living, one more day? So we want to just thank our creator, our higher self. We want to thank the Ori that lives inside of us and give him the utmost great honor. If we are to have good success and longevity, we are to thank our Ori. Ladies and gentlemen, we have started on a new series, and that series entails reparation. And we've covered 2 days so far about reparation. Yesterday we talked a little bit about the people who had actually received reparation. And we got into a conversation with one of our callers who called in to give us some input on information about reparation. So we were able to read off all of those various different prospective people who got reparation up until a certain point. Now, there may be others who have received their reparation, but it sure wasn't the African Americans. And that's what we're trying to find out. When will it be our turn? And when will we be called up front to give be given justification for all of the outstanding debt that is, you know, owed to us? And we'll be able to talk with some officials about why we feel we are owed or due reparation. Now, today's segment is going to be focused on, did Abraham Lincoln free the slaves? And we're going to get a little bit more into that and talk about the shampooing again and what really happened during the Emancipation Proclamation and who was given the reparation, who were the people that were actually given the reparation. And we're going to get into some deep discussion about what part of the United States was set aside for the African Americans when they did discuss giving us our 40 acres and a mule. What land did they set aside geographically? And did anyone take hold of that land? And if so, what came of the whole situation? And is that land still available to us? Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be covering all of those topics today. And I want you to come into the room with your questions and definitely lock in that number at 646-478-0270. Call in because we want to know, are we emancipated now? Have we truly been emancipated? And when the congressman decided to write the Civil Rights Act, why was it so difficult to get the language approved? And what ambiguous language was put in the document that prevented the whole group of white male in power who owned slaves, what prevented them from acknowledging those documents? And what gave them the right to say that it didn't apply to them and their slaves. What tools did this writer use to not be specific enough to let the world know who they were speaking of? Now, African Americans, you probably are saying that I don't want any reparation, and neither do I need any. But right now on the reservations, as we speak, there is turmoil for the Native Americans because, once again, the sham and the poo was put into the plan. I won't go any further than that. You can research it for yourself, what's happening on the reservations. Now, we're going to have to be smart and sit down and write documents that represent what exactly we're saying that we're due and that we want. And we're going to also have to go to our friends and our neighbors, the Native Americans, and ask for their assistance in compiling this document. African Americans all over the nation, whether you want to believe it or not, whether you want to acknowledge the fact that you have been damaged, it is your own personal business, but every psychologist in this world knows that some type of way families of the descendants of slaves have been damaged in their mental faculties as well as in their spiritual and in their natural. And if those three areas doesn't cover it all for you, I don't know what will. Sometimes it's hard for you to see the damage that has been done, but post-traumatic syndrome will sum the whole total up, the reflection of damage that could have been done in our psychic mind even while we were in the loins of our parent. Now, therefore, when going to prove that we have been damaged, that part would not be hard to do. It would definitely explain why so many African Americans are acting abnormal. It really would, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm not being facetious or joking, but it would help us to name what is wrong with us so that we could get clarity on it and go ahead on and start getting the treatment. Now, not only the treatment, we want our pocketbooks lined too. I know you know that the monetary gains is why we're fighting for reparation. Now, the gentleman yesterday said that he did not like to restrict all of the monetary gains to something that was material and not filthy lucre. I believe that if there is monetary gains to be had, then give those too. But by all means, if the government could look at reducing the taxes, forgiving the taxes for so many years, and also giving the privilege to return to school without a tuition. Now, as I told you yesterday, we have fallen lower than the refugees. Refugees do have assistance. The black men in this country cannot even get refugee status. They cannot even get a chicken in a pot and food stamps to service them when they're out on their hard luck. Even a refugee can go to other countries and get a food stamp card, get a residence and a place to stay that is paid for by the government agency. And they are also given these ATM cards to utilize at their bank. So they're set up as if they're a citizen. And even if they are getting set aside, they are existing and they're not in the streets, preying on other people's property. Now, if the United States really wanted to take a look at what is happening to our country, you'll see that there's so many people that are not in the mainstream who are not paying taxes and who are not able to function with livelihood. Those people become the people that prey on other people. In Europe, when they set up the program, they set it up to accommodate the student transitioning right out of high school into a technical vocational school until that student is well established to stand on their own 2 feet. Now, we either going to be called the new refugees or we're going to say we're the paid reparation candidates. Which one is it going to be? Are you going to continue to let us go into a status of a refugee? Or is the government going to exercise our rights by sitting down to the table with us to renegotiate the 13th Amendment, the 14th, and the 15th Amendment, which was sloppily put together, that may need to be revisited and reinforced. Then we may need to go back to those black codes and laws to reexamine if they are still on the books and if it needs to be negotiated to have them removed. That would take a little bit of the pressure off our backs and give us a chance to stand up erect. No one knows what it does to a person when fear has been inflicted on them. For unnoticed of reports of the policemen visiting them, and constant fear living as if they were still in slavery, that is a psychological prey on the mind just as much as going across that middle passage would be. And if those fears are still in my people on a day-to-day basis, then they're suffering a Sigmund Freud type of condition, something called a phobia. And if phobia can be treated, then it could also be compensated for. There are many of us running around here in fear of those black codes right now that you supernaturally said went off the books, but somehow they still exist. We're going to be talking about that, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned and get your pen and your paper out and come back with your questions. Did Lincoln really emancipate the African Americans? Did Lincoln want to write a ticket of reimbursement for the slave owners? Did they also get the first reparation? Did Lincoln reinforce the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment? And why was the civil rights rejected and not accepted by the cabinet members? We're going to be talking about that, and we're going to be elaborating on that, ladies and gentlemen, and we definitely want you to stay tuned for that. Right now, I'm going to pay homage to our listener who's in the audience, and I'll be right back at you in the atmosphere. Hello, listener. You're caller number one. How can I help you, and what is your name, or do you have a comment? Hello, listener. Okay, maybe that listener will come back in again. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to go on with our feature show. As you know, we always pay homage to our ancestors and call upon them on a daily basis, irregardless of what our show has been designed for. So let's get ready to go to commercial, and then we'll go right into our talking cure. And creativity is the thing that we're going to have to embark upon. Creativity, into creativity. Destiny. In order to have our destiny set before us, we're going to have to use some creative ideas to change a few things for this new millennium. I don't know about you, but this 2012 is an example of what is to come before us. We ought to be getting ready to usher in that new dispensation of a new world order, one would say. I'd also say a change in faculties. And if you weren't a part of the faculty change in the last class, you definitely need to get in line and go back and listen to those tapes on demand. Because we're changing faculties. That's how we're exiting out of the old lifestyle into the new. We're not necessarily killing off the world. We're going to change some of our attitudes. And I want to start the year off right by changing the attitudes that people have against the African Americans, as if they don't owe us anything and that we're not due anything and that we've fallen lower than a refugee and that we're not entitled to anything. Well, I have good news for the other non-Melanite people. We are entitled to something, and it's high time that we start telling you exactly what it is we want and what it is we are going to apprehend. If you don't tell a person what they want, they will always think you're content. Can't you see that there is no discontentment among all of us? And even the children, they begin to pick up arms because they are frustrated beyond frustration. And we ought to be too. As you go over our history, ladies and gentlemen, you will see all of the flaws that we have overlooked. And everywhere this here man has gone, there has been chaos and corruption and overturning of countries and cities, all for the gain of filthy lucre. Stockpiling, that is, putting extra things away that they have no need for, when somebody can utilize those things now, and leaving us dirt poor as a mouse. Having two incomes coming in, as a matter of fact, taking some of our incomes and leaving us with only unemployment subsistences, food stamps, and whatever else a young person can scounder around for. Well, it needs to be put to rest today. If we were truly emancipated, like Lincoln said he wanted to do, but he scammed and used shampoo to make the South think that he was bringing in a new dispensation, I got news for Lincoln. He might have been playing, but we weren't playing. That same bed of land that they've set aside for us, that some of our ancestors did apprehend, some of our ancestors did take hold of. The laws are open now, and there are plenty of us that are educated and are well-read. We can go back and challenge every one of those states. We can go back and challenge even that constitutional piece called the Civil Rights Act, the 13th and 14th Amendment, which were written specifically for African Americans. We can go back and challenge it. Laws don't change. Case law is meant to prove other information that you're trying to depict. We're going to get into all of that, ladies and gentlemen, but I want you to get your mind set. Call in. Call into the room right now and voice your opinion on 646-478-0270. Should the African Americans have a right to revamp the emancipation consummation, and has that proclamation really been fulfilled? Or is it something just laid on the books? Can we reactivate it? Should we bring it back to life is the question, ladies and gentlemen. And if you're out there in the atmosphere, give me a call now and respond and make your statement and request known. Now that we're starting a new dispensation, it is not unheard of that we would be asking for reparation. It is not abnormal for us to be standing here telling you that we're no longer asking for it, that we know that there is a specific way of obtaining what belongs to yours. Act like you know. Walk in and act like it's yours. You don't have to take anything from anybody. The scriptures read that the riches of the wicked have been laid up for the just. So our excess land, property, has been laid up for us. It's been there all the time, people. It's been sitting there. And most of the world has been wondering why we haven't challenged the system to go after it. Are you ready to challenge a system that has been vulnerable, that has fallen to his knees, and now that an African-American has taken over, even in his vulnerable state, we must challenge Obama, too. We must challenge him to take a look at past legislature that wasn't fulfilled for the African-American. It's not like you're doing anything for us, Obama. It's like you're doing what you're supposed to do. If the laws were incorrect before and they were damaging to us, then let your legislature, your House of Representatives, and let them work on correcting this problem. You might not have to do that much for the African American. Let's just correct what is improperly being administered now. And if we can do that, you don't have to worry about us being at your doorstep begging for somebody to do something for the darker shades of the people. If you just open the door to reparation so that we can fight the battle and call the ancestors to fight the battle, Obama, you won't even have to fight. Just stand back and watch God work. Now, come on, Obama. Set the precedence. I've been getting emails from you all week from your people on the committee that I'm on, asking, do I want to get a thank you card from you? It would be beautiful to get a thank you card. But what would be even more beautiful? If you would sit and break bread with us about the situation on reparation. It's kind that you want to send me a thank you note for the work that I've been doing. It's a great thing that you want me on your team. But even better yet, I'd like for you to be sensitive of the needs of the African Americans. Whereas emancipation is broke, the 15th, 13th, and 15th is broke, let us fix it. We're intelligent people. We can sit down and go through the law, revamp it, make the correction and the changes, and overnight you can be a miraculous, victorious hero. Overnight you can look good among all your people. Let those challenge intellectuals, influentials come and help you, Obama. We're here. Now, ladies and gentlemen out in the listening audience, if I put a dare out there, I'm putting a dare out there to see how many of you will be willing to give input, give suggestions about how we can fix that Emancipation Proclamation, and give suggestions where you would help in researching, finding case law to substantiate what it is we're trying to prove. Now, I'm going to call in my drummers first because, you know, I am the emperor. And if I'm going to lead anybody, I must act the part of an emperor. Where is my drummers? Drummers, will y'all please get in here so I can get this drum roll? I need it right now, like yesterday. The emperor is in the house, ladies and gentlemen. And I am here to serve you and you and you and you. Great, don't you all agree? Thank you so very much, drummers, for giving me that drum roll. And ladies and gentlemen, stand to your feet. I'm about to get permission to speak from our elder. Elder, do I have permission to speak and carry on with the procession?
Yes, you do have permission to speak and to carry on.
Thank you so very much, Elder, and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you and all your listening audience.
Thank you so much. Baba, is the purification set
And are we ready for purification?
Purification is set and ready. Purification is set and ready.
All right. Commence with the purification, please, Baba. I throw libations to the east. I throw libations to the west. I say libation to the north. And I say libation to the south. I take the water that is stable and neutral. I wash my face with the water and my hands. And as the water drops on the ground, we trust that the water will take root and that the word that are laid there will spring up in the hearts of men and women all over this nation. And they will begin to be challenged, and they will begin to step forward for the new dispensation of the new system that is about to take place. Their hearts and minds will be changed. We thank you for the opportunity for purification. Baba, is purification complete? Baba, what did you say?
Purification is complete.
Thank you so much for the purification. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have no water around your house, you need to take water and pour it out in the pitcher. Put it even under your bed so that the currencies for this millennium will be currently moving. I see it moving on the operator. I see it moving in the family's heart. You've got to run as if it's an urgent call. Reparation is an urgency. It's not a nicety, but an urgency that we should pick up more filthy lucre and gain power in our financial homes and in our financial bank accounts. It is an urgency. And if you are not urgent about it, then maybe you ought to forget about it. But God is only calling those who are able to stand up and challenge a thing. Many centuries have passed. We have not questioned the Emancipation Proclamation, even if the preamble was written for us. We have not asked, is this constitutional law, has it been fulfilled for African Americans? We have never challenged the institutions to be the institutions in high places. And if we are going to start the process of dismantling, even at the infancy stage, here is where the work begins. All of those intellectuals who call themselves researchers are going to be summoned. All of the moaning women are going to be summoned. Everyone over the planet of this earth who feels that African Americans' time has come must stand and be accounted for. Every African American who knew that reparation would be inevitable, now is your time to stand. Those of you who feel contrary to what we're saying, stay out of our way. Stay out of our way. If you don't have the courage or the fortitude to support, then go somewhere and sit down. Because right now, we didn't build the gods up just to play tiddlywinks. We didn't call the gods forward because it's time for supper. We didn't say, Goddess and Goddess, gear up, because we want to go outside in the rain. We said, build and gear up, because we knew this time would come that we all would have to stand on the front line. Now let me call those ancestors so they can be ready to stand on the front line with us. If you don't have your list, you might want to go back and get it. I light the candle to my mother's side of the spirit and the side of her people. And I say, Ashe. I light the candle of my father's side of the people and I say, Ashe. And I put water before my mother's side of the people, so that they will have their thirst quenched and that they will forevermore be filled with energy. I pour the glass on my father's side of the family
and my mother's side of the family, so that they will evermore have their glass of water with currency flowing to and from. As I light the candles and set the water before this representation, do as I do for your families as a marked rehearsal of what it is we do for our ancestors. Ladies and gentlemen, we call on our ancestors. I call on Robert Jenkins and I say Ashe. I call on Clara Jenkins and I say Ashe. I call on Tommy Pete Harvey, Ashe. Eugene Lilly, son Lilly, Ashe. Essalie Pope, Ashe. Sam Lilly, Ashe. George Lilly, Ashe. Mary Lou Hawkins, Ashe. Ruby Lee Brackett, Ashe. Clifford Brackett, Ashe. Emmanuel Day, Ashe. Elijah Day, Ashe. Avery Day, Ashe. Louise Lord, Ashe. Lucille Day, Ashe. Ludell James, Ashe. I call on Michelle Harvey, Ashe. Tom Harvey, Ashe. Bessie Lilly, Ashe. Isa Lilly, Ashe. Nisha Lilly, Ashe. I call on Maddie Parks, Ashe. I call on Michael Harvey, Ashe. I say, so be it, so let it be done. Ladies and gentlemen, you are now standing on holy ground. And if you have not gotten out your ancestors' list, please take out their list and call their names. Also remembering your heroes and sheroes. Harriet Tubman, come on out front and bring your pistol and your handgun, too. Because there's somebody that's not going to want to wade the water. And you're going to have to tell them they have to swim or be a dead Negro. Come on out from behind that tree, John Brown. Nat Turner, come on up front and lead the caravan. And we call on you, Nina Simone, to sing that sweet and good song again about Mississippi. Come on out front and sing that song. And I call on you, Dr. Carruthers, to lead the caravan. And you, Dr. Ben Yokin, come on out front, Dr. Clark, and lead the caravan. We are about to embark upon reparations. We need to help today. We need to become truly free of slavery. We are not yet emancipated yet. Help us become emancipated. We ask that you stand out on the front line and help us to be free today. Thank you, ancestors and heroes and sheroes. I told all of the people that they would not need ammunition. We have been trained to use our tools well, which God has loaned us his Ashe or her Ashe. We ought to utilize the tools of chanting, of meditation and incantation. We are not using physical warfare. Our weapons are not carnal through the pulling down of strongholds. Therefore, we don't need carnal weapons to do the job that we're about to do. So gear up, ladies and gentlemen, and gear up with the word, because the word is powerful. There's power in the word, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned.
Overstanding, arranged by the author Sherelle Omiika Bidiako Garth. I beget this while on tour across the Atlas. While back on the back cruzna, I was recuperating from a blow. Who would ever know that I needed to get some overstanding in the situation? Some overstanding in the situation. You see, this thing had me under for so long, I had forgotten how to get over a situation. I was spellbound. I couldn't seem to find my way around. This thing had me going down, trying to get some overstanding in the situation. Some overstanding in the situation. The struggle and complication of it all. Just who do you reach out and call after a serious fall? The thought of not wanting to feel at all. What do you do when you feel like you can't take it anymore? Not to mention the thought of having to pace the floor. Everything in my life seemed to went bad at the same time. That's when I decided to write the words in these lines. Somebody has got to bring me some overstanding in a situation. Some overstanding in a situation. What good is it to aspire, trying to reach a little higher, when you feel so tired? I had nothing left to feel with inside. Nothing but my foolish pride, and with remorse I cried. I have nothing left to feel with inside, but these memories deep inside. Now, my destiny wasn't easy, you see. I had to learn to reach deep inside of me. Now I know that I possess a source that will never bring me remorse. Somebody has brought me some overstanding in this situation. They brought some overstanding in this situation. Now I know I may have never gotten over the situation had it not been for being under for so long. Now a situation will never leave me going under, having to wonder and ponder. I'll always find a way to get from under. In order to get some understanding in this life today, it means that I have to fast and pray.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and Happy New Year to each and every one of you, Alafia, Jimhotep, and Habari Ghani. We have just completed Kwanzaa. I hope all of you participated in the seven-day event for ritual celebration. And each one of those rituals, may you lay them in your heart, like Nia, your purpose, Kujichajalia, the ability to name for yourself, Ujama, unity, and also dealing with all of these seven principles. Make sure you incorporate Zawati throughout the year. Buy gifts for people, even when it is not Christmas season. Make sure that those Zawatis are created by using your creativity. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome you into Kwanzaa. Most of us teachers celebrate the first fruit of giving all during the year, and you're going to hear Kwanzaa songs throughout the year here in this room. Remember, we're underwritten by Project 2019, which is a family consumer, family group. However, the views and expressions of this listening radio does not necessarily express that of Project 2019 or a Blog Talk Radio. Once again, we're talking about reparation. I'm going to throw a challenge out there into the audience. For those of you who are frequenting my room, are you familiar with the Emancipation Proclamation? What happened on that day when they implemented Emancipation Proclamation? Was it implemented wrong? And if it was implemented, why are we not up under the Emancipation Proclamation? What laws gave the United States of America the right to stop involuntarily in servicing of victims who were becoming slaves? What law stopped that right? And What was the ambiguous language that was written in those laws that caused the problem in the first place? If you're out there in the listening audience, ladies and gentlemen, and you care to talk or to read from any book you might have, please call in and let's converse on it. Now, Omi's going to get off into another segment, planning and preparation. What is it that we need to do to get ready for what we're about to get? You know, just like a person knows that supper is going to come, they get ready and anticipate for it. They don't wait around for somebody to tell them no. They know it is a logical thing that they must have, and they make preparation for it. So we're going to talk about what kind of committees need to be set up in order to get this form on the way. See, OMI is about solution to problems, not just talking about how bad we were injured and how bad we feel, because nobody cares about how bad we feel or how bad we was injured, because if they did, they would have long given us reparation. We are going to have to set the pace. You know how when black people start failing and losing jobs, then you see a lot of non-melanized people come in and they take the losses of the black people off their back and create opportunities for a job for themselves. We're going to have to do the same thing. We're going to have to take this reparation and make it into a job and create an inevitable job that you can have for a lifetime until you fix this thing called reparation. And a lot of us were smart. We would come together and we would design programs that would be public service activities to create jobs for ourselves based on our idiosyncrasy failure to receive reparation, based on the fact that we are trying to build a case so we can receive our reparation. Now, the first thing I think that should be done, those people that are available and out there to be a part of this discussion should appear and show up. And I think somebody's answered that call. Let me answer my phone line. Caller number one, you're on the line. May I help you? This is the Care to Read Room.
Peace.
Peace, caller number one. Who am I speaking to?
This is Mr. Shabazz.
Mr. Shabazz?
Yes.
Okay, and where are you calling from, Mr. Shabazz?
I'm calling from Detroit, Michigan.
Detroit, Michigan. Okay, I know quite a bit of Shabazz out in Milwaukee. You wouldn't by any chance have relatives in Milwaukee, would you?
No.
Okay. Mr. Shabazz, what is on your mind this evening? Would you care to embark upon the conversation or give us some insight?
Well, I had just tuned in, so I wasn't able to hear any of the conversation.
Okay,
I was using.
So would you like to listen first, and then I can come back to you?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you so much, Mr. Shabazz. What we're talking about in this room, Mr. Shabazz, is some strategy for putting together a plan that would be conducive for people all over the world. And it's been a problem in the past. We've had a real serious problem with African-Americans coming together to organize. It's always about who's going to get the credit for, who's going to be seen. And one gentleman talked about over the airways that most of the radio stations should get together and should be pretty much crying the same battle cry to get some assistance for young people who are going into the criminal institute and being indicted for various different charges. Now, I had concurred with what the brother was saying, and I'm coming from a more of an educational perspective. I think within this program that we put together for reparation, there should be some type of program put in there for ex-offenders and for those students who need rehabilitating, and with a behavior modification that's more spiritual than just a 12-step program. So as I listened to this young man, he talked about how some of the young men are getting in prison for a lifetime for drug trafficking. Now, I don't agree about the drugs being put on the market and being legalized. I'm not too sure if I have a better understanding of what drugs he's talking about, but I did think that all of the radio stations should get together to talk about a plan And one of the plans I had wanted to talk to the listening audience about is educating young people on legal rights, not just on criminal law, but on how they could go back and get training in the area of paralegal work or get an understanding of how to do the form preparation so that they can start doing pro se for themselves. That is one area that is going to be needed, an area of young people where we can train them to research the law, researching some of these codes, researching some of these black laws, and to see if they have inadvertently been exchanged and implemented within the new system. And if they are, what is the necessary thing that has to happen in order to get them off the books? And I also thought it was very important that there is a team of people to collaborate a letter about the Emancipation Proclamation, to talk to our cabinet men about someone tearing that apart again to see what part of it is not unconstitutional and what part of it doesn't serve African American. And because the 13th, 14th Amendment was written specifically for African American in mind, I would like to see Obama assign us the opportunity of tearing it apart and going through it and rehashing the whole thing. So we need to look at some serious things, because Obama's not so far away from us. A lot of us are on committees, and we report to various different people who are engaging in conversation with Obama on a monthly, if not weekly basis. And we ought to be pulling questions together and statements together to let Obama know what the pulse of the people is really going on and what's happening and why we feel it's so necessary that we get reparation. Now, as we looked at the scenario with Abraham Lincoln, we know that he was scamming. We knew that he scammed because he wanted to make the North think that he was going to take away something. Well, the North wanted to make the South think they were going to take away something that they really needed, and that was slaves. So that would leave them slaveless. And as you know, at one time, all slaves were like a walking Visa or MasterCard, because you could lease that slave out and he could do multiple services for you. So while you're at home sleep, you can let your card or your slave do the work as if it was a credit card. So therefore, we made so many people rich, so many people rich. And at the cost of people getting rich, we got poorer. So some compensation in monetary gain is going to be requested, because there's large portions of families who've never come off welfare and who have been born into welfare, and they have a chain of family connections with welfare, and that curse needs to be broken, and those people need to be given reparation to establish themselves in the economy. Now, what happens to all of these young people who get out of school and have degrees, can't find employment, now they've got a $10,000, $40,000 loan to pay back, and there are no jobs to be had, but yet everyone's saying the all-American dream is to get your education, and then you can have an employment place to work. That is not happening for a large portion of young people. Now, I know there's plenty of work to be done in the green movement, in the recycling area, in dealing with the panels, the electrical panels. There's a lot of work that needs to be created. And we see a lot of people running with these websites and putting them up. And the Jewish people have always talked about how many Jews does it take to change a light bulb. They've been into this funding a long time ago. So the money is just in the wrong place to be visible. Now, if our brother Obama would call a forum of just the African Americans to talk about reparation, I don't think that would be too bad. I really don't. And if there's anybody out there that disagree with me and saying that we should talk to Obama about reparation and what we're going to do about it, call in. I want to hear from you. I'm going to check back with my listening audience and see if he's still ready to say anything. Hello, brother. Are you, Brother Shabazz, are you ready to make any comments?
No, I'm still listening.
All right, still listening. All right, thank you, brother. Now, what I'd also like to say is this. One thing we have got to remember, assimilating and coming together to organize is not a crime. Some of you immediately start running to the opposite person to be an informer. Now, there used to be a place for informers and people who were always passing off information as if they were going to function as a CID. Now, a long time ago, black folks didn't play that. Those CID Negroes who were instrumental in heading everything off at the pass and passing on information, they were dealt with. Now, you got to understand, in order to have a strong foe on this thing, you've got to have time to plan, and you got to be able to do it uninhibitedly, and you can't have snitches around who will interfere with what you're doing. Now, one of the things that has cost us a lot of time and effort is that we had poor organization skill, couldn't come together on nothing. I'm going to decree that all of that is put under our feet. I'm going to decree that because one of the biggest problems that African Americans had in the past is themselves and organizing and getting along with themselves. Now, we have gone through character building. We have gone through dealing with modalities of poor character and EY Palu. We've talked about how to get ourselves right, and we know how to get ourselves right, and I've introduced you to books that will help get yourself right, and I did ceremonies after ceremonies to show you that. So we should be a better people is what I'm trying to say. We should have better credibility, and we should be able to sit and sup with each other without spying on each other and undermining each other. We are gods now. And being little gods, you can clairvoyantly see into the lives of those who are crooked. And don't think we can't. So when you start organized, be sincere. And be on the money. And don't be trying to get enough evidence to try to make somebody look like they're criminal or involving themselves in criminal acts. I believe Obama's waiting for somebody to bring him a proposal that's worthwhile reading and listening to. I believe he's waiting to see which group is going to be clever enough. You know why? Because there's other Jewish groups all over the world coming together, putting their plans together to go before Obama to ask Obama for his assistance. We should be doing the same thing. Now let's get back on who got reparation and what's the history of reparation payment. I gave it yesterday, but I'd like to give it again today. So for those of you who didn't have your pencils ready, get your pencils out and start jotting this down. Starting with 1990, the U.S. gave $1.5 billion or $20 million each to the Japanese Americans for their losses. In 1990, Australia gave $25 million to the Holocaust survivors, the Jewish claims that went forth, the conferences on Australia. In 1988, Canada gave 260,000 square miles of acres of land, and Indians and Eskimos, these were the people that apprehended and received this. In 1986, the USA gave $32 million to for the 1836 treaty, which was in Ottawa, Michigan. In 1985, the USA gave $31 million to the Chippewa of Wisconsin Indians. In 1985, the USA gave $12,347.5 million to the Seminoles of Florida. In 1985, the USA gave $105 million to the Sioux of the South Dakota. In 1980, United States USA gave $31 million to the Klamath of Oregon. In 1971, the USA gave $1 billion plus 44 million acres of land to Alaska Native Land Settlement Native Americans. In 1952, the Germans got $822 million for the German Jewish settlement. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't think I stuttered, and I did not state at any time that the African American received one red dime. Now, this list hasn't been updated in a while. I'm sure that there's some new lists, but if I can recall, there's no other African-Americans that have received any reparation. Now, we got to get our name in that number. Oh, yes, we do. And this is something we can hinge our requests upon as we go to Obama, this document here. Why don't you Google the history of reparation payment, and you can see it for yourself. There may be others that have added on there. However, we do have a document to rest on. And in resting on this document, we can bring about the questions of why not take a look at giving the African Americans their platform and their chance to present a plan. In the meantime, African Americans, you need to get busy putting together a plan and outlining a plan so when the time does come, we will be able to submit something. Now, I'm going to go back to my listener here and see if he'd like to give us some input. His name is Mr. Shabazz. Mr. Shabazz, are you ready to give any input on the topic of discussion this evening?
Well, I would just like to say, you know, personally, I feel that, you know, any person that, you know, wants to go through the courts or, you know, to certain representatives in government, or, you know, there are some brothers and sisters that believe in, you know, suing, you know, the United States for war crimes. There are different people within them, Moorish American circles, or people who want to go to the United Nations and things and talk about certain things that have been done by, you know, the United States government. You know, I give them all blessing and all support. You know, paperwork that wants to be filed or wants to be taken up with current President Barack Obama, I feel that, you know, like I said before, I give them all, you know, blessings and all support. Me personally, you know, I myself wouldn't do that, but, you know, any person that feels that is the best way, you know, to try to get different monies or land or maybe corporate ownership of certain materials for the mass, you know, Holocaust, the Maafa that took place, then, you know, I would give them, you know, all support.
Okay. Well, that is, you know, more than most people are offering. And I want to put something out in the atmosphere for those listening audience. We're talking about reparation here in this room, and we're talking about it sensibly. We're not talking about undertaking or overtaking anyone with pistols or guns or weaponry. We have talked to most of the audience to tell them that because they are gods now and because they can share in the tools and weaponry of the Godhead who lives inside of them, I'm going to ask them to meditate this evening and call on their Godhead to give them guidance and direction, because we're not fighting against flesh and blood, and we're not talking about coming up against an institution. We're looking at principalities in high places who refuse to budge on these topics. We're looking at appealing to their best interests through conversating with them. However, we are also going to consult our ancestors on the topic, and this is where this has never been done before, to consult our ancestors. And we do believe, gentlemen, Shabazz, that we can bring our ancestors in on discussions and we can consult them. And that is what we're trained to do in the Year of a Faith, is to consult our ancestors to get guidance and direction. And that's what most of our brothers and sisters haven't had in the past, any guidance from the ancestors. So we're going to get a different outlook. Our outlook is going to be so different at times, it's going to look as if we've had a lot of experts working with us, because our ancestors' melanin, as we've been taught, can never die. So we have the ability to tap into their energy pool and to get solutions. So because we are solution-oriented people, where in the past this situation called reparation has been looked over, ran over, undermined, at this time it might have a little bit more clarity, because we are asking ancestors to intervene. And I don't care that those people out there who don't believe in ancestors, or who may think it's Bush people, or who may think it's High John the Conqueror or Juju or all of those things, I don't care. This is our lineage. This is our heritage. This is where our power lies. And believe it or not, other organizations have been tapping into our power, not letting you know that, and going to these elders and to all of these Bible laws, as well as to these priests and priestesses, to get divinations and divining for the government, institutional government. And the government has consulted, the past governments have consulted clairvoyant people in the priesthood, and they've utilized their instruction. So why wouldn't we utilize our own stuff? You'd be a damn fool not to acknowledge your ancestors. You really would be. And I've read you that poem once before and told you that anyone that doesn't take up arm or communing with their ancestors, it's like you're cutting yourself off from your family. So we have something that's different this time, ladies and gentlemen. We have access to our ancestors. We've actually girded ourselves up in the Word, and we've learned how to examine ourselves spiritually and mentally, and we begin to learn how to chant and meditate. So we are tapping into some powers that have never been tapped into before. We're combining the comedic as well as the Yoruba together to gain all of our properties and gifts for having tools and instrument that God has already told us that belong to us. We just haven't awakened those faculties. Once those faculties are awakened, you're going to see the genius come out in all of the people who are going to be working on this reparation project, because it's going to take the genius to recreate something that is going to be acceptable, maybe not for all, because you cannot please everyone, but it will be acceptable. Now, if we understood that Obama probably feverishly wants to find something he could do for us, and we can help him at that. We can help him in advance to come to understand what it is we need immediately. And don't just say jobs. We don't need jobs. Let me tell you something. A job is just over broke. And when you are tied up in an 8-to-5 job, then you can't be an institution for yourself. What we need is like Little Nevada. We need corporate offices. We need entrepreneurism. We need everyone to be established as an institution and a corporation. We need the corporate benefits that the corporations get, the write-offs that they get for not just being an LLC, but for being a C-Corp or an S-Corp, where we get the major write-offs like a corporation. We need to be able to incorporate our businesses or what it is we do so that we will become small entities and companies, just like the foreigners who's running over here opening up the businesses. They're getting the all-American corporate dream while we're getting, once again, the shampoo. We're working the 8-to-5 jobs only to be turned over, to be laid off. If you're incorporated and if you are paid into your taxes and if you are paid that money up front, you either get it up front or you get it at the end. But if you are an incorporated institution, you have 7 years to make good on your business while you are becoming a corporation. Anything after that becomes a hobby. Put us into business classes. Show us how to revamp our institutions and our credit, and show us how to revamp our situations after those people have lost home. Give us the ability to do that for free so we can incorporate ourselves and become institutions. That's one way of starting it, Obama. And when you jumpstart the economy, you know we are a billion-dollar industry, and 0.5% of that 1% national business that we incorporate into and purchase. Our purchasing power is great, and once we are better prepared and trained how to properly institutionalize ourselves as corporations, we can benefit the system by circulating the dollar, and we can also create corporations for ourselves and become identified within the industry and not just another spook by the door. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to hear me well. Reparation is not a nicety, and Dr. Anderson wanted me to tell you that. It's not a nicety. It's not something nice to have. It's something that is your inalienable rights based on the Emancipation Proclamation. Lincoln felt it was. Lincoln even said that he thought that we were bringing in considerable amount of consumer processing through the clothes we wear, and the fact that every year they can anticipate that in the summer we're going to get a pair of sandals and a set of clothes. In the winter, we're going to get a pair of boots and a set of clothes. They were guaranteed about our prosperity and about what we were going to spend. And they're probably still guaranteed based on our income. We have been making everybody rich but ourselves. We have guaranteed society the need for consuming. Now we're also laborers. We've been building up all types of bridges and railroads, and we don't own any of them. Now, how long, I say, can we be acting like second-class citizens and servants in our own country? Everybody wants to say it. I'm an American. And we see foreigners come in this country who are migrants, who go to the bank and get a bank loan and establish themselves in a matter of 10 years as a corporation. We're fighting for the wrong thing. We don't need jobs. We need corporation status. We need Dun & Bradstreet numbers. We need to be able to get an EIN number. We don't need jobs. And if jobs are no longer the way of the future, then help us to establish ourselves to become corporate entities so that we can truly play in the all-American dream. Now, I'm going to go back out here to our caller and see if he has some input. Caller, are you still in the atmosphere? You have the atmosphere. You can speak anytime you want.
I agree with, everything you're saying, I just, at this point, I feel, just looking at the things that are happening, every time I look at the situation, it just reminds me of the philosophies and opinions of Marcus Garvey, where, he said, if you go through the different areas where he talked about progress built on sand, where he talked about the Negro must organize, he talked about this situation. If you don't do something, then these next 50 years, you're going to die out quicker and faster than you ever did ever before in history, certain things are just historical and certain things are just the situation at hand, Garvey's talked about, the situation, with the lack, just everything that, that we find ourselves dealing with, he talked about, 80 years ago, and the situation now is coming to the head, he talked about it would flood this place with foreigners, and that, it would be a situation where these people will push you out and come with a situation, you got people coming from Mexico, coming from a narco state. They're not having no compassion for, the black story here in America. People coming from different parts of Southeast Asia, where you're coming from places where, it's ethnic cleansing on a daily basis. So, these people are not coming with compassion for our situation. They're coming to get these resources and take care, take care of their families and do what they have to do for themselves. So it's nothing for them for us to be disenfranchised, to be, down and out and not to have any political power whatsoever. It's nothing for any of these other ethnic groups to come in and just completely push us out of existence. So, now I'm at the point where I feel like it's if it ain't cold red, it'll be cold red within the next 10 years. So, that's how I feel. We need to react to the situation. But again, anybody, who again wants to go through the legal process and, issue certain things with the government, I have no problem with that. But, it's just a situation where, a lot of these people, they just refuse to wake up. They refuse to look at the situation. I'm in Detroit, Michigan. And again, Elijah Muhammad, he said about Detroit when he first came here, he said, "You were poor before these auto industry jobs came, you're going to be poor after they leave." And now you find a situation where it's 70% unemployment and underemployment combined. So, it's just a messed up situation. We don't even have a penny candy for here.
But you know something, brother? I was going to tell you, it's not as messed up. You know, usually something has to bottom out in order for you to be able to, you know, after the bottom comes the top. So now that we are at the bottom, now we're going to go to the top. And we've had it all along in us, and we just didn't know how to activate it. When the ancient ones died, they wanted to make sure that they lived again, so they buried themselves with all the riches because they knew there would be a time again that they would be first again. And we've had it all along. It's just been locked down. Our medulla oblongata, our memory has been locked down. And the way you unlock that memory is that you have to jar it and you have to bring things back to memory. And in this classroom, we have had a whole series of comedic teaching, preparation for priesthood and priestesses. We've also had neophyte training, so we've actually gone to the level to let people know that they can unlock the God now, not the big G God, but the little G God that actually has loaned us his tools, and we have access to all of the tools that they use as a God, such as chanting, being able to consult with the ancestors, being able to meditate and take the breath of life of God and allow God to give inspiration. So we have learned a lot of tools that we can use other than fist fighting and marching. And now is the time to go into the chants and go into the deep meditation and do the work in the spirit. So we have been trained and taught how to go into the spirit and do the work, where it is not an outward war where we stand on the front line to physically fight someone. I took them through a whole series where, you know, access your tools, go into a deep meditation, bring out all those things that you have been trained to use, and begin to fight with them in the spirit. And in whatever it is you're trying to accomplish in the natural, when you come out of that spirit, it will be done, and you can walk it out as if it's finished. So we're just going to walk out the finishing part of reparation, because the work we do is going to be in the spirit realm. So when we get ready to come out front and walk it out, we're getting ready to lay claim on something, and lay claim on something very strongly, because the ancestors will speak to us and they will allow us to know when to make a move and what necessary document has to be filed, because the ancestors know things that we have no knowledge of, and if we're able to tap into their power, we can be able to generate their melanin and gain insight as to what we need for this time to make a difference. And I think the world is sensitive enough that they're willing to sit down with us. We just have to have the right type of plan that we are going to implement. And it has to be done on a gradual basis so that it's not done overnight and over a period of 6 months to a year. And I'm not one to push anything on anybody and say, here, you're going to do all this, because overwhelmingness of people and mandating things never work. It works when you go in with a six-month plan, you gradually plan for how you're going to implement it, because there's going to be questions, who's going to implement it, and who's going to do this, and how that's going to happen, and this, how that. And you've got intelligent people now. You got people that, even if we didn't go to school for our master's degree, we got people who are old people and have wisdom and have the ability to see into the lives of others and into the future. And as we can use our skills, then we become so clairvoyant that we can call everything into place that we need. And if we don't have anything else, we have powerful minds. And our weaponry is not carnal through the pulling down of strongholds. So we're not using weaponry that's carnal. We're using weaponry that will obtain that which is intended to obtain. So as we decree a thing, it will not return to us void. And see, some of us have got to tap into what the ancestors promised us. They got to tap into what is available, made available to us. But we got to practice to change our character and our conduct so that we tap into those areas in our faculty that are weak and that are misguided, and we do a whole revamping of our character. Once our character is clean, God can dwell there, so he will inadvertently work with us on one accord, so we're not operating alone in our own strength. We're operating with God at the head of our life, and that's not the God that's coming out of heaven. We talk about every God that has been assigned to each individual that God gave you to cooperatively work with you. So all this training has gone forth already, And I know I couldn't talk to anybody about doing something great like this unless they had discipline. You first have to know yourself and have discipline. And we spent a lot of time on trying to work with neophytes so that they'd be able to discipline themselves. And that's the first thing soldiers have to be taught, discipline, because you can't have everybody going out there with a plan. Do you have anything else you could add? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, Sam, most definitely, you know, I feel that, in the words is used, within, different circles, whether it is, the comedic circles or the Israelite circles or the Moorish circles or the RBG circles, it's different circles. But we do need a complete constructive change, or some people call it repent, or some people call it a spiritual rehab or cultural identity where we live righteously. But I just feel that, the situation at hand, I don't see, the world as a compassionate situation for the situations that is happening in Palestine, the situation that's happening in the People's Republic of Sudan, and the situations happening in Iraq, and the situation that happened in Tanzania, and et cetera, et cetera. I just feel that, it's a situation where, I can tap into certain things, and I do feel that we need to live righteously and do certain things as far as on the spiritual realm. But, the enemies, the people that seek to destroy us, they deal with things on the ground,
Look, brother, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. And when the mind is sound, there's nothing that you can fear. He said, fear ye not, that he would vindicate us. So we are not responsible for doing anything in our own strength, but we have got to get to the point where we truly trust that he will intervene on our behalf, so that what these people are doing is not important, because you have to believe in what you're doing. And when you believe in what you're doing, you can annihilate any force that will. There's no force greater than God. There's only one force, and that's love. And if they are force out there, and God didn't give them their power, then they will not be able to come up against God. See, people get it wrong. People think that this so-called force that God has given the ability to empower, he will never take his power and share it with no man. So this false power that we're looking at out there is really the power that we've empowered a person with. And the way you diffuse that power is to take that power back and use it for good. So we got most of our young people who are taking their own negative power, infusing it, creating their own devils. There is no, the Africans don't believe that there is a devil. They believe that the force that comes against us is a power that we infuse. And if you do not want a devil in your life, you diffuse that power by creating love. So, we're not going to be tied up with these people that can do something to us, because their hands are going to be tied. Because when the real gods come on the scene, and when God has instructed you to believe in him, that he would vindicate you and to decree a thing and that he would watch over his word to perfect it, then you got to believe all those things and stand on those things. And when you've done all you can do to stand, remain standing. And when you can't stand no more, remain standing. And still I say stand, that's when he shows up.
Right, exactly.
You going to say something?
Oh, no, I was just agreeing with what you were saying. Like I said, being a young man, in this city, and really just looking at the situation, and I never feel helpless or hopeless or anything, and I never feel that something is so powerful that it cannot be overtaken. But I try to look at the successful or the people who have come from a situation of absolute tyranny, of absolute desperation, of absolute destruction, and see how were they able to turn around their situation, and what were they able to do, and if it's something that is possible, how can I use that to help my people? And I don't know. because another group of people would never share their secrets with you. I don't know how far they dealt into the spiritual realm, but I do know that certain things that are done, you know, on the ground through economics, through organization. And I feel that all, but always.
Let me say something, brother. You are onto something. You really are. And you don't know what powers to be that they've summoned to give them the ability to overcome what they've overcome. And what I'm telling you is that you being the first Asiatic black man on this universe, you're one of the oldest creatures on earth. They don't know a time when we didn't exist. So everything that sprung up sprung from our loins, and all civilization came from us. So whatever you see being done out here is just a replicate. It's a counterfeit of what the original is. You're the original. And because you're the original, you have to reach within yourself and find yourself. And the only way you can do that is you got to sit still with yourself on a regular basis so God can reveal himself in you and to you. Not this God that they're talking about is in the atmosphere. God has assigned you your own personal God. You got to wake it up. You got to start becoming conscious, reading, and doing things to wake up your medulla oblongata in your mind, because all of your memory gland holds the captive, capsule of your memory of who you once were. You used to be able to chant and change things. You used to be able to see into the future and see into your lives and forecast your life. You used to be able to clairvoyantly send messages to your loved ones without talking to them. You used to have all of these six senses in your sixth eye, your third eye, rather. You used to be able to have all those things. You just have forgotten who you are. And when you see these people that have overcome, just think they've learned it all from you. And what they have is nothing new under the sun. So eventually you will see that what they are demonstrating is something your culture gave them. So if you go back into your culture and remember that you were once a great people, and ask God to open up those faculties for you so that they're working and they're functioning, then you begin to see that these things that these people that are doing that are so great is no greater than what you're capable of doing. Things can be turned around with powerful words. They're chanting words. I recommend you get a set of the Run and Effort 1 and 2 volume and study that like your dear life. Like, put your other Bibles aside until you go through those books, and also get the Tree of Life, which is a meditation technique that teaches you how to meditate on the Tree of Life. And Ron Aneffer, if you can Google him on the website, Google him, because he's got a full-blown training program, and Yoruba does too, but theirs is not as sophisticated as Ron's is, and I incorporate both of them. But that's where you get a lot of your vision as to how to come back to yourself. And you're not lost. Trust me. What makes you so in demand is your melanin. Your very blackness is where all of the incaptive formula is encapsulated in the melanin. And the cesspool of melanin of the African people that die, it cannot go into the grave and lay there. It has to rise up, and it vibrates. So it still exists. So you have access to your ancestors' melanin, so you can tap into it to give you vision and ability and an intellectual. Melanin gives you a strong intellect. So you'll find that people want us to feel hopeless, and as if we don't have powers to assist us because we don't have ammunition. People want us to feel like we need to go out and get a gun and do something. But we're more powerful than any gun or any vehicle because of what's in our medulla oblongata once we tap into it. It's like opening up a formula that was already placed inside of you. Because just as people say, well, when you're born here, you're born here in sin. I don't believe that. I believe you're born here perfect, lacking nothing, because you have God's essence. And with God breathing essence into you, you have every aspect of God's quality. Now, we're not gods like that into the Godhead who created this earth, but we are likened to gods, and we grow into God-like behaviors on a day-to-day basis. So, therefore, God used their voice to command things. God used words, and very powerful words, to to overshadow things, and that's what you've got to learn to do.
Right. I mean, I feel it's just when I first began to study, you know, when I first came into this movement of understanding and studying and, you know, studying the Medinetta and studying the Yoruba and studying the Gribo and all kind of, you know, and studying the different, all the different houses. I studied a lot of the different houses. And this was over, you know, it's probably been about 4 years now since I studied and came to certain conclusions about this. But I felt that now, you know, still finding myself, you know, on, you know, food assistance and all these different things and, you know, being in a situation where I'm really only slightly better than my people around me. You know, I'm still at that physical position or that economic position that they find themselves in. It has to be something, I guess, lacking where, you know, just, you know, studying the different spiritual systems and enlightening myself spiritually.
Now, have you been involved, engaged in meditating?
Well, you know, again, when I first came into studying, you know, I read and studied and, you know, was getting into the different, I have all the books, you know, like I have been in it in that way, you know, when I first came into it. But, you know, through all of that, I mean, and to be honest with you, I was very much at peace. Like, I was a very peaceful person at that time, very much at peace. You know, I was very rooted in it. I was very grounded, and my spirit at that time was at its most peaceful point. But again, as far as the situation of economics, as far as the situation of dealing with the things that's with on this physical realm, I feel that I was only, when I look back, I'm only slightly better off than the situation around me. That really.
Well, you know what? You can't see yourself in that realm. You got to see yourself in a higher mode. And the way you do that is you go into your trance and you take your book with you, with the Medinetta 2, and you take the areas that you need strength in and you take them into your trance and you meditate with those. And that is where you gain your strength in that area that you feel weak in. And then as you come out of the trance, whatever it is you've been trying to do to advance yourself, you begin to see yourself advancing yourself. That's the way the Tree of Life is laid out. It's laid out where you can chant the words while in meditation. You can also take the images with you. And I had to go back and pull that whole book out a second time, and this is my third time going through it. And each time, you know, I get stronger and stronger from the modalities that I'm using for meditating and chanting. And go in there and even look at ordering your chants so that you'll have that around you. See, these are tools that the ancient people use in order to become very profound at the work that they do in doing divinations and reading, because most of us naturally were trained how to do divinations and read into the lives of our loved ones, and that is not something to say that we have to be a soothsayer to do it. It's in our nature to do it because of our wisdom and because of us loving each other so much. We tend to walk the life that person walked, that we're close to, and we can see into their lives and know what the next agenda is for that person and can warn them ahead of time or give them some insight to what they need to change. And that's how Black people have got to get to know themselves. And once we know ourselves, no amount of pressure can anyone put upon us because we know what we're capable of doing.
Exactly.
What I'm going to say to you, brother, I'm going to welcome you back into our class. We're going to have this whole series going on for the whole month. And please go back and look at some of our courses on demand and view those and take a look at how some of them might help you. We're an educating program, a school teacher under consumer science education, and our whole goal is here. You can also look me up under Project 2019 under Northern Indiana. Google that. And our whole concept is that we close the gap of disparity of Blacks doing for themselves. and that we would close the gap for the literacy to introduce good cultural reading to families. So our whole mission is to bring us up so we can start doing for self and become self-sustainable. So that's our whole goal here in this class. But please do come back and be a part of our class. And we're going to get ready to shut down the class in here, but we're not gone forever. And those of you who have been going with me, I want you to lock that number in, 646-478-0270. And we had Dr. Shabazz, well, Mr. Shabazz in our class today, and shedding some light upon the situation, giving his input. And we're going to let him have the last few words here. And before we do that, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you remember that the Kwanzaa season has now ended. However, we want to start a new beginning for getting all of our modalities in order, all of the training we had for neophyte and going into priesthood. We are now in activating those skills and using them. Now is the time to use those skills. Remember I said we don't get angry like we're mad, going to do something to somebody. We control our tempers and ourselves, and we use meditation as a tool to help us with our irate behavior. Remember conduct. Remember our conduct and our ethical judgment is going to be called upon to work and to do things in the area of compiling a plan for reparation. So you want to get your good mind and your right sanity so that we don't be talking about pulling a gun or a pistol when somebody don't want to wade the water. We can physically speak to that person in their mind and tell them what it is they're going to do. And if you're truly down with the Kemetic teaching, soften your voice when you speak to somebody, when you want to tell them they're going to do something. Soften your voice. And then as they know that you have humbled yourself, more than likely you can make a powerful word turn itself when they receive by a humbling voice. Humble yourself to something greater than yourself. Sometimes you're going to have to humble yourself to these people out in the streets who don't know any better. And you do that so that you can keep peace. And under any accord, try to keep peace. Don't always be ready to throw down. There are times when we're going to have to throw down, but don't always be ready to throw down. You got to know which manner of man you're working with and what you're dealing with. So we've been working on changing modalities, changing our bad habits. Maybe we have a habit of talking too much, or maybe we have a habit of hitting first and thinking later, or maybe we have a habit of being mean to other people. If there's ever an occasion to be nice to somebody, take your time and be nice to somebody. And if somebody's offering to do something for you, don't always be the one trying to hold out and hold a grudge. Forgive that person and forgive yourself and go head on, because if you don't, if you walk around here with malice in your heart, don't bother to ask God for anything. I don't care if he is sharing a domain with you. If you're not acting right, don't bother to ask God for anything. And remember, God resides in you. Keep your vessel clean. Don't go around here taking all kinds of substance and pharmaceutical drugs into your body and drinking everything you can drink. Keep your bodies clean, because you know God dwells there now. We're pressing God forward, little G. We're pressing God forward, and God has to be pressed forward in a clean vessel. Ladies and gentlemen, if we decree a thing, let's all decree that reparation is already ours. Let's decree that for the year of 2011, that it will come. We didn't think a black president would come, but look what God has allowed us to bring forward. He'll let us bring reparation too, if enough of us believe in it. Let's come together on what we believe and uniting. It's okay to have filthy lucre. It's okay to be financially rich and have our bank accounts excess amounts so we can give to somebody else. It's okay to have fine houses. It's okay to have all of that. Decree it for yourself, because we have become gods, and the gods know that all they need to do is speak things into existing. And I decree this day that reparation is going to be had by the African Americans, and we too will receive all of the land that's due us, our 40 acres and more than $100 that was put on the books. We're going to have to work at it, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get ready to come in here and decipher the words and talk about what is necessary to be talked about in order to bring a good plan to President Obama, and even to his House of Representatives. If some of us are connected now and have an inlay of talking to anybody in that house, please come forward, because I'm talking serious business now. See, some of these people say they want reparation. Some of them say they're going to get reparation. But you got to be about the business of getting reparation. And you have to lay down structures that will sustain what it is you're asking for. Don't go in there beating on the door and say, Obama, it's me. I'm here for that reparation you promised me. That's right, and the rest of them out back waiting too. Don't go into Obama's office demanding nothing from that man, telling him you coming to get what you were going to get. Let the spirits visit Obama. Obama, this is a spirit coming to visit you. We'll be right about coming back here in about 2 hours, waiting for that reparation for those African Americans. And I know you're going to have it prepared for it, so we'll be waiting for it. Go to Obama with the spirit. Send the spirit there to talk to him, to soften his mind and soften his heart. Let the spirit do the work for you. You're God's little children, and you have overcome them, and you have the tools and capacity to use now. Now use your tools well. Use your tools well. And on that note, we want to say we're going to get our speaker here, and we're going to call him back on and give us some last words. So what do you have to say, Mr. Shabazz? Can you give us some last words for the Emancipation Proclamation? Did Lincoln want to really free us, or what was the situation going on?
You said as far as that situation was the last words.
Give me some last words or anything on that topic. It doesn't matter. Whatever you feel.
I just want to say peace and blessings be upon you. And I just would like to, see a better situation. I know that's what we both want. We both want to see our people, be the glorious, great thinkers, teachers, and leaders we can be, and, not be crushed and destroyed by this place. I think that it's just, imperative that we wake up now, ASAP, and really get into the mindset that will project us or shoot us into that situation, So everybody just out there, just stay strong, and, you keep continue to keep doing what you're doing. And thanks for the opportunity to talk on your show.
Thank you so much, Brother Shabazz. And please do become a regular friend in our classroom, and do come back and visit us. And we'll be back on again on Monday. And go back and listen to some of our tapes on demand. And please do come back and be a regular friend. And we'll definitely enjoy you this evening. And we want to say to all those listening audience, we're talking about reparation. And what we're talking about is something that all African Americans should be interested in. I don't care how much you've made it up the top, and how bougie you have gotten that outfit to look, and how many extra bank accounts and how much money you got put into stock. I don't care. This is for the little people. This is for the people who don't have that. If we band together and speak and say the same thing, how can one or two walk together unless they both agree? If we're African-American, let's stand together on something. We don't have to want it for ourselves. Just want it for your brother or your sister. But stand together, I say, and when you've done all you can do to stand, remain standing. And still, I say, stand when the winds come up against you. And the winds will come up against you, and the winds will blow, and the rains will blow. But when they come, be ready for them. That's why I say, be ye ready. Be ye also so ready. So now that we know that this is about to come and the storms are going to come against us, let's get ready for reparation. So when they come, we'll be more than ready. On that note, I want to say odavo to you all, and thank you, Mr. Shabazz, for your touching words. And we are going to go out of here with the success song, because we are going to be a winner, and we will win the chance to have our reparation. I say odavo to you all, and I'm baba boo to you.
For all to see that it's up to you and it's up to
Together we can do it. We can bring about an atmosphere for reparation. And with my brother holding my hand, opening up the door, not confusing the situation, but being a part of the solution, together we can do it. We can bring about reparation for all the African American. So we can set the record straight that we've been fair to each and every one of the various different immigrants who've come to this country. We're no longer immigrants. We are citizens here. The Emancipation Proclamation was created for the African Americans and the civil rights that were written and the 13th and 14th and 15th Amendment. Let us reactivate those things so that we're given our just due. I know we can do it, and you're going to help us. So thank you so very much. On that note, I say double and Baba Booey to you, y'all. I'll see you Monday. Have a great weekend and a happy new year to all of you. And my wish for your happy new year, that you will have much success and that the new year will bring and usher in reparation on the hearts of all of the people across the land, that every man and woman will be hurling and pushing for the African American to receive their just due. Jail cells will not max out any longer. Those will be reduced also. It is my decree that every man and woman that wants to work this African American, jobs will be made available to them. And every man and woman that wants to go to school to practice law, they don't have to study war no more, that the opportunity is in